All right. So last week we discussed the same bracha, the same talamatali bracha. So this week, moving right along to the next words, al pnei ha'adama, right, on the surface of the ground. So there's two basic mahalchim, two basic ideas I wanted to discuss. The first is that the Medrash Rabbah and Brachos says, the Pasuk says before the Shvatim went down to Mitzrayim, says V'ha'ra'av haya al kol p'nei ha'aretz, and the Ra'av, the famine, was over kol p'nei ha'aretz, was over p'nei ha'aretz, was over the surface of the ground. And the Medrash there says p'nei ha'aretz elu ha'ashirim. This is referring to the rich people. And the Medrash says teaches you that the Ra'av started, or the Peronu started with the rich, however it worked, that the famine affected them first. But the Medrash says that p'nei ha'aretz means the Ashirim, means the wealthy people. So the Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Yakar, based on that Medrash, says that in this tefillah, that's really the meaning of al p'nei ha'adama also. Means the p'nei ha'adama is, you know, similar to the p'nei ha'aretz of p'nei ha'adama, means the Ashirim. And he says that it's a bracha al ha'ashirim sheyifarnes es ha'aniyim. It's a bracha on the rich that they should support the poor. So reading it back into the text of Shimon Esrei, kind of it's very I saw a certain sefer that he wanted to explain that what he means is it's a bracha that the rich should be inspired to support the poor, but reading it back into the bracha, it doesn't really fit so smoothly that way. That it's the same bracha al pnei ha'adama means put a bracha on the rich people. It sounds like the request is, doesn't sound like it's a request on behalf of the poor people. It's not a request that the rich should support the poor. It's a request for the rich people. That's the words, if you translate p'nei ha'adama as the rich, as the ashirim, so then sein bracha al p'nei ha'adama means put a bracha on the rich people. So
they can support the poor.
So seemingly, right, this is a little bit of Bush trickle-down economics going on here, right? This is the bracha for the same bracha, p'nei ha'adama, give a bracha on the ashirim, on the rich, so that they should be able to give to the aniyim, right? And the truth is that this idea that the p'nei ha'aretz, that the Medrash says, the p'nei ha'aretz is the ashirim, is the rich people, the Rabbeinu Bachaye on Chumash, on that pasuk there, says that the ashirim are called the p'nei ha'aretz, they're called the panim of the aretz. He says shahakol ponim lahem, because everyone turns to them, everyone relies on them, and that's why they're called the pnei haaretz. They're the people who everyone is pone to. They're the people that everyone turns to, and therefore they're called the ashirim. I mean, therefore the ashirim are called the pnei haaretz. But the calling them pnei haaretz is in the capacity that of everyone else relying on them, of everyone else turning to them, and them being supported by everyone else. And I assume that's the pshat in the Medrash, that the Ra'av was al pnei ha'aretz, means it was the Ra'av affected those people who everyone else relies on, and therefore it affected everyone, because not only they not have their own sustenance, but even the people that they would turn to, or specifically the people that they would turn to, maybe specifically affected by the Ra'av. But either way, but the idea seems to be that we're asking for a bracha for the wealthy in order that they be able to support the poor. So, seemingly, it's a little bit of a strange thing, seemingly it would make more sense to just daven directly that Hashem should be mefarnes the aniyim, that Hashem should support the poor people. So, why do we have to daven that Hashem should give a bracha to the rich people in order that the rich people should support the poor people? Why do we arrange our tefillah in such a roundabout way. I understand, you know, that some economists feel that that's the best way to support the economy, but why do we have to daven that the rich should be blessed, and through the rich, then there should be a bracha that, you know, it will kind of spill over to the poor, because they will then be able to help the poor, and the bracha, the rich will then be mefarnis to the poor. So I wanted to suggest that the idea, the chovos levavos in Shar HaBitachon, in Perek Dalet, in the fourth chapter of Shar HaBitachon, is discussion all about relying on Hashem. So he discusses there a number of different aspects of life in which a person has to have bitachon, and what the various elements of bitachon are in each of those areas. And one of the things that he says is that when it comes to a person's parnasa, that a person has bitachon, that sometimes Hashem, for one reason or another, will give someone's parnasa through another person. He discusses reasons. Either it might be that it's a nisayon for the person to whom he gives the wealth to see if they will use it the right way, to see if they will unwillingly it to the people that he should be supporting, or if he's going to be stingy about it and it will have to be taken from him against his will. But for other reasons. But for one reason or another, Hashem might have reasons, cheshbonos, why a person's parnasa will come through another person. And the Chovos Levavos explains that a person's parnasa consists of three parts. When a person gets his parnasa, consists of that which is for himself, which is for sustaining his own existence, that which is for his family, his b'nei bayis, the people who depend on him. And then there's a third chelek, there's a third portion, a third segment of his parnasa, which is money, which he really has, is he's only holding on to it until such time as it is passed on to someone else. Is either that he might be given money that's for Yerusha for someone else, money that he's going to lose and someone else is going to find, or money that is going to be passed on to someone else, but there's a certain chelak of his parnasa which is really only there as, you know, somewhat of a trust fund, that he's holding on to this money in order to pass it on to someone else. So there's a chelak of a person's parnasa. You know, some people are given their that they support themselves entirely, but there's a chelak of a person's parnasa which may be that it's there to give to someone else, and that we understand that we have bitachon, we have trust, that even that which we receive through others is ultimately designated and apportioned from Hashem, and therefore we daven for the bracha that is given to the Ashirim, because it is that's also part of that. That's not skirting the issue of the parnasa for the Aniyim. It's not that we're saying that, well, Hashem should give parnasa to the Ashirim and then hopefully some of it will spill over to the Aniyim, or maybe if he gives enough, then, you know, I guess, you know, when they run out of expensive toys to buy, then they'll the rest of it will somehow end up getting to the Aniyim, or it's not trickle down economics that they're going to go spend, you know, so if you give the rich more money, so they're going to go spend more, and then it'll get the economy going, and then the middle class will end up making more money because people are spending money in their stores, and then eventually, you know, somehow the money will get to the poor people. That's not what's going on. It's we're expressing our belief and our trust that the money which goes to the Ashirim is part of the Parnasa of the Aniyim, that Hashem has it calculated that he's giving Parnasa to this poor person through this rich person, and giving the money to the rich person is not, you know, a long shot, you know, it's not a hope that if we give the money to the wealthy person that then it'll make its way to the poor person. But giving the money to the wealthy person, that is giving the money to the Aniyim. That even the money which is given to the Hashirim, that Hashem includes in that a chelek, which is not discretionary spending. He includes in that a chelek, which is designated to go to the aniyim. And the Chovos Levavos says that, you know, the rich person really has the choice. He can happily accept that he was given the schus of supporting others, and he can happily accept that this money is not really his, and it's not really something that he's losing and he's giving away, and he can have the schus of that money leaving his possession through his own initiative and therefore getting the mitzvah for it. Or he can decide that it's for him, and then Hashem will make him lose it, and he'll be worse off for not having given it away, for not having been generous with it, because either way, the money's going to make it to its intended destination. A Kadosh Baruch Hu has the parnasa of a person, a person's free will with the results are going to happen anyways. The Gemara says that Kasham is onoso shel adam kikriyas yamsuf, right? So not just the zivug, but the Gemara also says that a person's sustenance is, so to speak, as difficult. For Hashem to arrange everyone's parnasa is as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf, but however Hashem works it out, that if this person doesn't decide of their own accord to give to divide up their wealth, to be willing to apportion off from their wealth for that which is meant for others, so it's going to happen anyways. Hashem is going to make sure that the part that this person is supposed to get, he gets anyways, and now the person not only ends up losing the money and losing the chance for the mitzvah, but he also has the agamas nefesh. He has the pain of feeling like it was taken away from him. He's going to lose it through not his own accord. If a person, you know, willingly departs with the money, so they don't feel like they've suffered. They don't feel bad about it. They don't feel that they've been subject to some tragedy. They was willing. They were happy to do it. A person who doesn't give away the money is then going to go through the agamas nefesh. Is going to go through the pain of having that money taken away from him in a way that he didn't want. It's going to be beyond his control, and he's going to be subjected to that. So a person is really best off if he accepts his responsibility, if a person who becomes wealthy accepts his responsibility, that now the tzarchei tzibur are a part of his responsibility, then that person is much better off to just accept that responsibility. That's al pnei ha'adama, that the bracha should be on the wealthy people. This is because even the bracha that goes to the wealthy people, that's also a bracha for everyone else. And therefore, you daven for the wealthy people is really a direct way. It's not an indirect way. It's a direct way of davening for everyone else, that Hashem should give the parnasa to everyone, however it's supposed to get. However Hashem will arrange it. I wanted to suggest a different idea of what these words mean, what the idea of al pnei ha'adama is. This is based off of something that Rav Pinkus writes in his opening introduction to Sha'arim B'Tvila. He doesn't all of the applications that we're going to try to say, but the basic idea is from Rav Pinkus. Rashi in Parshas Bereishis, the pasuk says that Ela Tola Shemai Va'art Pihi Bar Am, right? That the Torah, after it goes through Sheishis and May Bereishis and Shabbos and all of that, goes back through a short version of the creation of the world, and it says Hashem created Shemaim Eretz V'Shemayim V'Kol Siach Asada Terem Yeva Aretz. And all of the herbs of the ground were not yet on the land. The kol esav asada terem yitzmach, and the grasses of the field had not yet sprouted. Ki lo himtir Hashem Elokim al aretz, because Hashem had not yet made it rain on the ground. The adam ayin lavod es adama, and man was not there to work the land. So what is that last few words doing there? What is the fact that man was not there have to do with everything else that was mentioned in the verse? That everything had not grown and it hadn't rained yet, and man wasn't there to work the land. So Rashi says, Pasuk says, the kol esev asadeh adayin lo tzamach, all of the grass had not, grasses had not yet sprouted. And that which it said on the third day, Vatotzei Aretz, that the ground put forth mount. Ella al Pesach Karka Amnu ad Yom Hashishi. They stood, they waited right beneath the surface of the ground, at the entrance of the ground, until the sixth day. Ki lo himtir, because it had not yet rained. Uma ta'am lo himtir, and what's the reason that it hadn't rained? Lefisha adam ayin la avodas adama, because man was not there to work the ground, says Rashi. Ve'ein makir b'tovasan shel geshamim. And there is no one to recognize the tova, to recognize the blessing of the rain. Ukeshaba adam v'yada shehem tzorech l'olam. And when man came around and he realized that there was a necessity for the rain, hispalel aleihem v'yardu. Then he davened for the rain and it came down. V'tzamcho ha'ilanos v'zeshayim. And then the trees and the herbs and the grasses all sprouted. So, what's clear in the Gemara and Kulin that Rashi is quoting, what's clear in the Gemara is that the grass was already, the herbs, the herbage, foliage, was already given its tzivoy to grow. And not only was it given its tzivoy, it had really already begun the process. It was sitting there waiting at the surface of the ground. It was right beneath the ground. But it wouldn't come out to the surface of the ground until Adam came, recognized it, and davened for it, and then was able to be makir tov, was able to recognize the benefit, the good, the blessing that was involved. So Rav Pinkus says, you see from here that something built into creation is that even that which is ready and prepared, even that which is set up and destined for a person is already merited to receive a certain thing, it only comes through tefillah. Tefillah is ma'akev. Tefillah is an unavoidable, an unremovable component in the bracha. The tefillah is referred to as a gate. Sha'ar ha-tefillah, it's the gate of tefillah, because it's the gate through which all bracha has to pass. Any bracha, even a bracha, which is already on, it's already formed, it's already there for a person, it's already ready for him, he's achieved it, it's already available for the person, it won't come to fruition, it won't actually come out into practical existence until it is recognized through tefillah. It's a similar idea in Yetzias Mitzrayim, that in Yetzias Mitzrayim, so there was a gzeira that said that there would be 400 years that they were in, that Klal Yisrael were in, not necessarily in Mitzrayim, but that they were gerim be'eretz asher lo lahem, that they were foreigners in a foreign land, and however you'll calculate it, that it came out to exactly when Yetzias Mitzrayim was, but if that's when the time was, so the 400 years they were up, right? The gzeira was the time had come, and yet the Torah says that they came to a point where the suffering became great, and then vayitzaku bnei Yisrael el Hashem vayishma Hashem es tzakasam. Or Yishma Elokim es tzakasam. And then, after Vayishma Elokim es tzakasam, then it says that Hashem was Vayered Liros Besivlosam, and the whole, and that's when the Geula, the process that instigated the Geula, was initiated. Then Hashem came to Moshe and said, I've heard the suffering of my children in Mitzrayim, and I need you to go back and take them out. But it was only, even though the time for Geula had come, it was cried out, Geula was initiated. So the Ramchal in Derech Hashem explains that part of the Seder of the Bria, part of the system, the order that was set in place in creation, is that to receive the Shefa, to receive a certain spiritual energy, a person has to be the words to be misorer to that shefa. He has to, so to speak, arouse. He has to, so to speak, instigate that shefa to come down into the world. In the metaphysical level, you know, there's this idea that a person has to bring the shefa down to a certain degree, that a person has to bring the shefa down himself. But like on a more basic level, can understand that everything that we receive in life comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's only when it's only when we recognize that it comes from Hashem that then it can come. Because if a person doesn't recognize that the good that he gets is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it takes away an inherent part of the meaning of that good, that the gift, that the, you know, the everything that Hashem created, kol lechvodi asisiv barasav af yitzartiv af asisiv. I'm sorry, that the pasuk says that everything that Hashem created was for His kavod, which means, we've discussed before the idea many times, the idea of kavod means recognition. The idea of kavod means the degree to which something is recognized and realized. So that the whole point of all of the tov that Hashem gives us in this world is to serve a positive purpose of bringing about the hakara of that Hashem is the one who's providing for us, that Hashem is the one who brings us this tov, to realize that Hashem is involved in guiding creation. Rav Dessler says that Rav Dessler writes, the whole reason that we daven, the whole reason that we daven for all of these things is in order to reinforce in ourselves, to instill in ourselves recognition. When you ask Hashem for something, so that drills into yourself the recognition. If you're asking Hashem for it, that means that you recognize that it comes from Hashem. It's in order to instill in ourselves this recognition that which you are receiving, that which you are the recipient of, is a bracha from Hashem, and that there's the way Rav Dessler describes it, really part of building bitachon, that everything comes from Hashem, is through tefillah, through asking Hashem for it. That's driving into yourself that Hashem is the one who has the koach to provide it. But the goal of tefillah is that then everything that we receive, all of the tov that we get, then becomes a part of the relationship that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then on two levels. The first level, just the etzem uvda, the basic fact that it then becomes a part of recognizing Kadosh Baruch Hu. But then the bracha that we receive, it itself becomes a contributing factor to the, it then becomes part of serving a positive purpose. If the bracha that we receive is no longer just, you know, like so to speak, a payment for the tov that we did, the bracha is not just that you did something good, so now you get some enjoyment, but the bracha itself becomes a productive part. It becomes a part of building the relationship with Hashem. It itself becomes something meaningful, that it's now not just, you know, goodies that you get, but it itself then becomes, by recognizing that the bracha comes from Hashem, so then even the material benefit that you get in this world becomes something which is part of the context of building a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, of realizing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything, and then everything that you receive, part of that meaning. So I think that is possibly the pshat. And what we say the same bracha al pnei ha'adama. We say that Hashem should put the bracha on the surface of the land, meaning that because we recognize that the bracha that we receive is already there. The bracha that we receive is already lying in wait, in potential, it already exists. But it's still, even once it's already there, even once it's already formed, it's waiting for us and it's destined for us. We've already worked toward it and we even deserve it. But that just means that now it's ready to come to us. But it's not going to come to us until we daven for it. And therefore we ask Hashem that He should move that bracha from being in the ground to being in the aretz, to existing in potential, to move it to be al pnei ha'adama, to put it on the surface of the ground, that it should manifest, it should come out into fruition, into practicality, that the bracha as it exists now is ba'aretz, and now we ask Hashem that He should place the bracha, the same bracha, al pnei ha'adama. I think that last week we discussed the phrasing v'sein bracha versus at the beginning of the bracha where it says bareich. In the beginning of the bracha it says bareich aleinu es hashana azos. It says bless the year. As opposed to in the second phrase, the second clause of the bracha, we say v'sein bracha al pnei, place the bracha al pnei ha'adama. Right? We discussed last week different approaches that Mefarshim take, but based on what we're explaining now, I think that it fits, it's very nice. In the beginning of the bracha, we're talking about the we discussed last week, the shefa harochni, the spiritual, the spiritual energy that bracha, so to speak, the formation of that bracha. And now we're asking the same bracha al pnei adama. We're not asking for the creation of a bracha. We're asking for the placement of the bracha. We're asking for a bracha that already exists, a bracha that's already there in potential. Same bracha, place that bracha al pnei adama, on the surface of the ground, that right now it's terem yitzmach, right now it's the way it was in the beginning of creation, in the structure of Bereishis, that there was kol siach asada terem yiev, kol esev terem yitzmach, that everything is, it's there under the ground. Hashem already said on day 3, he commanded the ground, v'totze aretz desheh, and it's there waiting to come out, but we want it to be put al pnei adama. We want it to be moved onto the surface of the ground. Therefore, Hashem should take that bracha and place it and move it. It's a relocation. It's a shifting of that bracha from potential to actual. And therefore, the request, the bakasha, is just the same bracha. It's to place the bracha because the bracha already exists. This, tying back into this, but we discussed in the very first class that we had on the ninth bracha here, the idea that the theme of this bracha is the manifestation of the bracha. The theme of this bracha is the request that a bracha, not that you could have a bracha which exists in potential and doesn't come to fruition. We mentioned that's why the this bracha was structured, positioned to counter the mafkiei sha'arim, those people who would circumvent the bracha, who would short stop the bracha by charging, by making a monopoly or forget the word, when a group of people get together to all manipulate the market, but something starts with a C, not coming to me right now.
A collusion.
A collusion to raise the prices, that they would make that they would get together even though there's plenty of bracha, there's plenty of growth, and there's plenty of produce that came, and everything should be good, but they'll get together, they'll keep the prices high, and therefore even the bracha there, though the bracha exists, it can't be, it remains meaningless, it doesn't become actualized. And that's the whole theme of this bracha, is connected to them, is corresponding to them, to bring the bracha out from just being something that exists in potential, that it should be actualized, it should be realized, it should impact us. And there, that's again what's happening here, al pnei ha'adama, that the bracha should be on the surface of the ground. The bracha shouldn't exist in potential beneath the ground, where it's very nice that it's there, but that doesn't mean anything to me, that doesn't benefit me directly. So, but the bracha should be al pnei ha'adama, the bracha should come out to fruition, should be manifest, and should become something real and meaningful. So two ideas of the al pnei ha'adama, the first point being the recognition that even the bracha that I get through someone else, that Hashem gives to other people, Hashem has the cheshbon of how that's going to benefit me, and the bitachon that we have, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu calculates exactly what I'm going to get, even in that which goes through other people, and the bitachon that we have, both in our interactions on the giving and the receiving end, that as the ones who have the wealth, to recognize that what we have is not only meant for us, but is meant for other people, and in the receiving end, to recognize that a Kadosh Baruch Hu hasn't measured exactly what we're meant to receive, and even that which is coming through other people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that entirely figured out and planned and measured. and under control. And the second point is that al pnei adama, like it says in Bereishis, that the produce, the growth was all beneath the ground, that it should come al pnei adama, it should come onto the surface of the ground, it should go from a bracha that exists in potential through tefillah, through the gate of tefillah, come out to actualization, come to be something that we are able to benefit from.